this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani, hosting this edition of the program. Thank you for listening. You can find me on X at ChrisCordani1, at ChrisCordani1, ChrisCordani, one word, and the number one after that. I also have something very interesting coming around the pike, and you can find that on my side project YouTube channel, theouthouselounge.com. That's theouthouselounge.com. This portion of the program is powered by GetRxMedsNow.com. That's GetRxMedsNow.com. Talk to a physician in your state from the convenience of your home or wherever you are. We'll take care of your prescription needs at GetRxMedsNow.com. Confidential, convenient, and HIPAA compliant. GetRxMedsNow.com for a consultation. Coming a bit later on in this show, I want to focus on something which doesn't get covered in the mainstream media: the worldwide persecution of Christians and America's tight lips, as well as the nation's own persecution of Christians, with Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt. He's known as Chaps. He's a PhD, a TV host at PIJN News, and an author of several books. That includes How to Liberate the World, A Step-by-Step Guide to Take Back Your Country. That's what we're interested here on Unleashed. But first, are you all so tired of hearing Joe Biden constantly lie about the economy and its fantasy period of prosperity? It was funny at first. It is fun to watch the guy. He's feeble. He gibbers and jabbers on. Okay, before you say that about me, I enjoy doing that. He thinks he's taking himself seriously. But Joe seems to follow the George Costanza political theory: it's not a lie if you believe it. No, Joe, you did not bring back good jobs with anything you did. Nothing. You were the lucky recipient of COVID jobs coming back. We all know it. Well, most of us, maybe a good portion of us, know it. You might check out your social media feeds and find some of your friends still think Biden is an economic god for some unknown reason. But again, I'll digress. Not only were these COVID jobs that came back, they were behind pace thanks to your policies, Joe. The other growing jobs numbers, yes, I understand there were others, but those are from people doing part-time work or taking second or third jobs because of this economy. A lot of small businesses are only going to hire part-timers because they can't afford to bring more people in. Too many taxes. Everything's expensive. Also, expanded government jobs. You remember from the Inflation Enhancement Act, starting with those 87,000 IRS agents and government workers, money going around to these guys out here, contractors, all on the taxpayer's dime, by the way. Oh, yes, and the money going to defense contractors, thanks to your expanded wars and taxpayer money going to them, that inflates the economy a bit overall, but it helps nobody aside from your rich pals. The inflated market numbers come from Joe Biden's spending, constant printing of our fiat currency, and a devaluing of a dollar that, thanks to him, is now potentially going to lose its status as the global currency standard. The de-dollarization movement has moved forward, and it's in full swing. It's only going to get worse, and we have the people that run the deep state that were allowed to keep rolling to blame. Why do people think Joe Biden's doing a good job, though? And that's a real question, because there are people that think he's brilliant. They think he's an economic guru because some of the numbers look good. Oh, the Dow looks so great. Oh, the Dow is the top 30 stocks. That's selective and subjective. Not only that, you can easily kick out a stock for underperforming, bring back something else to inflate it. The Russell 2000 and the S&P 500 are better measures of the economy. But not so now, because you also have to look at the idea that the dollar is worth so much less than it was 4 years ago. The overprinting of money has made everything look like it's gained value, but the real value is not there. Joe Biden also blames Donald Trump for Democrat extended COVID spending. You hear him?
Yeah, my British yesterday. He raised the deficit and they raised the debt. I lowered it.
No, you didn't. Okay, you didn't. You made the debt much worse, and that's the number that counts, by the way, the debt, not the deficit. You can raise taxes and lower the deficit. That doesn't help anybody. You have to cut spending, and you don't. Neither did Bill Clinton. Neither did Barack Obama. Bush didn't do a great job cutting down spending either. I know Trump tried, but he didn't have a lot of help in Congress from either party. Of course, the political class we have to watch out for when it comes to all of that. But never Trump Republicans have been less help. We all know that, too. All we get are lefties in the news and entertainment media running defense for Biden, saying, oh, the market looks great. This is great. Joe Biden's enjoying a booming economy. They did kind of, there's a little bit of reporting on the garbage reports we had in April. What was that? The GDP of 1.6% growth? That, my friends, is the deep state's favorite economy. But the real question is, what's behind this modern monetary theory mindset? The idea that you can print money and keep printing and printing because it's there. Joe Biden, his cohorts think money grows on trees without consequence. Isn't it his generation who used to tell us when we were kids, they used to lecture us about the value of money and say, money doesn't grow on trees? What am I made of money? Apparently, look no further than his number one economy guru, Jared Bernstein, the chief of Biden's Council of Economic Advisors, who cannot even explain the crap that he and his cohorts are pushing on us, the taxpayers. This gem comes straight from his mouth in a documentary called Finding the Money.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets... some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? Sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Because they sell bonds, and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah, so. A lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to, I guess I can't really talk, I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about, like, because it's like, the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
This guy sounds like Karine Jean-Pierre trying to back out of a tough question. Maybe she wrote that answer for him. You can find that on the Washington Free Beacon's YouTube channel. Easy to find. That's the clip. These people think printing more money is a solution to help our economy. Or better yet, since it's their overlords who are trying to destroy America through people like Biden, Obama, and their henchmen, they're purposely printing this money. Purposely, I submit to you, purposely. I said that 3 times, so you know I mean it. Printing money to destroy our economy and nation. Have they not seen what happened to the other ones? The other countries that constantly printed money away? Zimbabwe comes to mind. Italy didn't do such a great job, remember? The lira wasn't worth anything for a long time. Mexico had its issues, still has them. These economists of today saw what happened back then. So my only answer to these questions about the work they have put forth on us and what they're planning is to destroy the economy. While we have seen more Bidenflation, the Federal Reserve does its part by keeping interest rates high to slow economic growth. Remember, the April GDP was pretty bad, 1.6%, even with a deflated dollar value. Now just keep that in mind. So the U.S. economy is being kneecapped on both legs. And as you know, you can get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news, always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. And that, of course, includes our excellent colleagues here on Unleash the Political News Hour, Chris Michaels, Dr. Stephen LaTulip, Bruce Robertson, what a voice that guy has, Tom Knoll, MD, and of course, yours truly, Chris Cordani, right here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Straight ahead, I'll talk about the worldwide persecution of Christians and America's tight lips about it, as well as its own persecution of Christians from straight out of the deep state, with Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt. Chaps, as he's known, on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network's Unleashed the Political News Hour.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Back on Unleash the Political News Hour here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani behind the mic. Throughout world history, religious people have been persecuted for their beliefs, depending on who's in charge and where. A lot's being said, and rightfully so, about historic persecution of Jewish people, how the Uyghurs, are being treated in China. There are several other instances, but what does not get talked about is the persecution of Christians around the world. There is no media supporting the murders of, or discussing the murders of Christian worshipers in the Middle East, their treatment in China, how communist governments around the world have gone after Christians. Not much support there, save for the Christian niche news organizations. So I figured I should get a guest among them who knows what they're talking about. Around the world, and yes, in America, Christians are being persecuted in one way or another. How is this allowed to happen, though? Why and to what end? With me to talk about it is Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt. He's a PhD, TV host at PIJN News, and author of several books, including How to Liberate the World, a step-by-step guide to take back your country. Welcome to Unleashed, Chaplain.
Good morning, Chris. God bless you in Jesus' name, or good afternoon, as your listeners may be entitled to rebroadcast this podcast nationwide. My name is Dr. Chaps, and yeah, I host a TV show. Our website is prayinjesusname.org, and we talk about religious persecution, not just overseas, but right here in America, as you asked me to talk about.
Exactly. And there is something of a war on religion happening in America and frankly around the world, as you've seen. Christians are taking the brunt of it here a lot of times in the Middle East and communist countries, and more so, more than people think. But it's rarely, if ever, discussed in the media here. That's a problem.
Well, overseas, the persecution, of course, is 10 times more serious. It could cost you your life. If you are a Christian, for example, in Azerbaijan was just added to the United States State Department's recommendation that it be added to the countries of particular concern for religious persecution, not just against Christians, but against any minority faith. For example, in Western China, the Uyghur movement are Muslims that are being persecuted by the communist Chinese. But as an evangelical Christian myself, I'm very concerned about India, who has just made the list of the top 10 worst persecutors of Christians. And there's a State Department organization, the U.S. Center for International Religious Freedom, that puts these countries on the bad boy list.
The bad boy list. I like that.
Well, they're up there with North Korea, you might imagine, or China, certainly. But for India, who's, you know, sort of a developed English-speaking country, to suddenly make the list of Antichrist persecutors, something horrible must have happened, and it did.
I want to jump in there, because I actually have another bad boy list from the International Christian Concern, the 2023 Persecutors of the Year report. So I'm sure it's similar. They mention I'm not sure if I should call him a governor, but it's sort of an equivalent to a governor in India. This must be sectional. I'm going to ask you about that. But the man they name, the man ICC used by name on this list, is Yogi Adityanath. I believe I have that name somewhat close to correct. But he leads a sector, if you will, of India. So I'm going to ask you, is this a whole nationwide thing, or are there certain, let's say, no-go areas of Israel for Christians, or maybe they should probably leave those areas for other parts, right?
Well, you're right. I've been to India several times. In 2022, I preached, I think, in 12 different cities in 9 different states, and I have been active there since 2012, particularly in the state of Orissa. Orissa is under Calcutta, but it's a state where, in the city of Bhubaneswar, there was a genocide in 2008, and 55,000 Christians were driven out of their homes. I want to say 200 churches were burned to the ground. Over 100 pastors were assassinated and killed by angry Hindu mobs. We've been ministering to the children of the dead pastors since 2012.
I've never heard of an angry Hindu mob before. I always thought they were nicer people, but that's the thing. Every Hindu I met was very nice. But there is something going on in India also between the Hindu and the Islamists, the Islamic people as well. So it's Hindu, Islamic, and Christians. They're kind of there's no way for them to get along, it seems like, over there.
Well, remember when India declared its independence around 1948, of course, led by Mahatma Gandhi, they declared independence from Britain. But at the same time, there was a division between what used to be Western India, is now Pakistan, sort of became the country that took all the Muslims who felt violated, and Pakistan kicked out all the Hindus. So there was a great religious war leading into the 1950s, and even little hints of it going on today between Hindus and Muslims. They found peace, and there are some violent people on both sides that should be condemned. But now, in recent years, in the last 10 or 15 years, the Hindus are angry at the Christians. The Christians have become public enemy number one across India, because they're multiplying peacefully through evangelism. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ spreads, there's no violence there, but it's becoming very popular to lead children to Christ or have nonprofit ministries that are being kicked out of India. For example, Compassion International or World Vision this year have lost their tax-exempt status in India, because the Hindus, who are gaining power in the BJP party, that's the national version of what's basically the Republican Party, but instead of the religious right, like here in America, we have Christians, in India, it's radical Hindus are the religious right, and they control the red states of India. India has 30 states, of which about 10 are totally controlled in their state government by, you know, you call them red states here in America, but over there, they're controlled by the radical Hindu parties that are associated with the Nazi party that wants to kill Christians. And so the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, is a member of the BJP party, And he sometimes has been accused of partnering with the Nazi Party to persecute the Christians, especially in these 10 red states. And what he does, he turns a blind eye to radical anti-Christian persecution, like what happened last year in Manipur. The state of Manipur in the Northeast, it's so far east that it's almost Asia. It's almost Thailand, right? The people look Asian. They speak their own Asian dialects. They don't look like regular Indians. They look like Asians. But Manipur is one of the states of India that is more than 50% Christian. Ironically, there's only four states out of 30 in India where you have above 20% Christian. Manipur is like mostly Christian. But the distinction is that the Christians live in the rural hill areas and the Hindus live in the cities. And so even in Manipur, although it's mostly Christian, they're poor people and they have the farmlands and they don't have the resources. And when there was a tribal dispute over who would have access to government benefits between the Maitai tribes and the Kuki tribes, the Hindu Maitais killed the Kuki Christians. And so the UN looked at this and they dismissed it. Oh, it's just tribal factions. But the problem is they're burning churches and they're targeting Christians. And it is inherently religious. When you talk to the people on the ground, they say, oh, yeah, we hate those Christians because they are converting everybody. They are leading people to Jesus through their speech. And so they try to ban Christian speech and ban Christian Bibles. And the Christians are winning.
Well, let's stop this here. We have a war of words with certain radical factions of certain religions in America. And this is a war of words, basically. Whereas we don't want to see terrorism here. We don't want to see people bombing areas because in the name of whatever religion. You're talking about in India, a peaceful set of conversions by Christians who are not doing anything. They're not harming anybody's buildings. They're not harming anybody's neighborhoods, and they're not killing anybody. But they're the ones being persecuted just because they're converting people. I want to get that straight with you, right?
Yeah, and that's actually become the subject of several state laws, although they're unconstitutional on a federal level in India. There are about 10 states have passed so-called anti-conversion laws. And what they do is they mislabel it a religious freedom law, but the state law to protect religious freedom only protects Hinduism and only punishes people who convert to Christianity. It's basically one-way religious freedom. You're free to remain a Hindu, but you're not free to convert to Christianity, and that's the state law. And they punish the pastors for preaching the gospel. And they will literally send angry Hindu mobs to burn down the churches or arrest the pastor, and the police cooperate with that and arrest the pastor. And then the pastor is in jail for preaching the gospel, and he's got to go through a lengthy court process just to get bail, just to be released. He's got to pay lawyers, and sometimes it takes 6 years for him to be exonerated by the federal Supreme Court, who says, oh, the federal constitution of India clearly protects Christians and the right to propagate their faith. It says the word propagate right in the federal constitution. That any religion can speak and share and propagate their religion, and it's federally protected. Like their version of the First Amendment says evangelism is okay. So the pastor eventually wins in court, but he's got to go through a 6-year process and fight the police to do so.
So you're saying some kind of modern government should really pay attention to their constitution? Gee, I wonder where else I've heard that, as a matter of fact. With me Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt, otherwise known as Dr. Chaps, if you will. How about that? TJ hosted PIJN News, author of several books, including the How to Liberate the World, A Step-by-Step Guide to Take Back Your Country. And there's no safe haven in Central Asia for Christians. You can't go next door to Pakistan. There are some enclaves there, but one of them over the last couple of years get burned down by an angry mob somewhere along the line.
Yes. We've just interviewed on our TV show two different pastors in Pakistan. I will not say their names, but you can find their interviews on our TV show. And we met them here in Tennessee. They came to share their story at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention about how their father's ministry, their father is a pastor there for the last 30 years, has suffered persecution in Pakistan. And they're about 20 churches have been burned to the ground by angry Muslim mobs who hate Christians, because the Christians are peacefully digging wells for their neighbors and providing fresh water. And they're
the
angry
horror.
Because,
yeah,
they're angry because the Christians are teaching the children about Jesus.
That must be horrible for them, I suppose, right? Yeah.
Right.
They're not bombing anybody. They're not telling everybody to beat up on Muslims. Nope. All they're doing is helping out their neighbors and maybe converting some people. Religions do that. Religions convert people. It goes both ways in that respect. But it seems like it just seems like there's a worldwide war against Christians. I know we have the same thing against a lot of other religions. We all know the attitude that a lot of these nations have against Jewish people. But it's very strange that Christians and Jewish people almost pretty much do not have a safe area in areas like in places like Central Asia, the Middle East, or anything like that, and even a lot of North Africa. And not just the Middle East or Mediterranean portion, even down south a little bit. We know about the Sudan. Now I'm finding Nigeria has grown in its anti-Christian activities, if you will, bombings of churches, destructions, burning them down. And I always thought that was a very strong Christian nation in a lot of ways. Well, a very long Christian and Muslim nation in a lot of ways.
Nigeria is unique in that for the past 50 years, really, they had a Christian government. Until about 3 years ago, they elected a Muslim prime minister. And the Muslim, basically president of Nigeria, is now turning a blind eye to the violence in the north. So Nigeria is divided. They have, you know, really a modern populace in the south that respects their neighbors, and they have a lot of Christian churches. But in the north, the Fulani herdsmen, which AP calls them, they're not herdsmen at all. They're radical Muslim militaries.
Yeah, for the Fulani militants, if you will. Yes.
Yeah, and they go from village to village, wiping out Christians, and they are armed by the federal military. It's like, where do these terrorists get their weapons? Well, they get them from the Muslim president of Nigeria, whose military is renting out the military weapons to the terrorists on weekends. You can rent, you know, a couple of machine guns from the army guy, and then you can go terrorize the Christian villages and then turn them in on Monday. And the army turns a blind eye to this because, wink, wink, nod, nod, the president of Nigeria is approving this, not verbally, but just by looking the other way. Well, this has resulted in the wipeout, the destruction of hundreds of formerly Christian villages in the north of Nigeria. And sadly, although Joe Biden sent his U.S. Department of State representative, Anthony Blinken recently took a tour.
Yeah, that's effective.
Nigeria.
Right.
He never mentioned any of this. He never mentioned that there might be religious violence against Christians in the north. Instead, he just praised, you know, the progressive Muslim government of Nigeria, kind of like when Obama went to Egypt and gave that speech about, you know, empowering the Muslim Brotherhood. We should have more Muslims rise to power in more governments across Africa. No, what typically happens when radical Muslims get elected, they throw out the constitution and they kill the Christians.
Let's get that happen
in Egypt, and now it's happening in Nigeria.
Yeah, let's get rid of this notion that the Muslim Brotherhood is some kind of angelic group or secular portion of Muslims that featured young people standing up and moving forward and taking over their countries. No, this isn't the case. A lot of the Muslim Brotherhood happens to be radical. They took over their nations by some kind of force whatsoever or manipulation, and all of a sudden They're ruling their areas with an iron hand, and yes, they're killing people.
And we saw that in Libya in particular. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, she was calling for the liberation of Libya from the terrorist dictator Muammar Gaddafi.
You're just bringing another bunch of terrorists, right? Yeah.
Well, Gaddafi was evil, but he was secular. The distinction is now that Hillary Clinton's government has taken over and Gaddafi was removed by probably rightfully so by the people. But sadly, in Libya, the Muslim government has now turned anti-Christian, and they're enslaving the women and making them wear burqas. Killing the Christians, and there's no more religious freedom, or at least under Gaddafi, there was some semblance of Christianity in Libya. Now it's pretty much Muslim government, and there are no Christians there.
Yeah, there was some kind of at least allowance of, or at least some kind of, as I said, as you said, secular government. People don't realize because if you're against the Obama administration, you will say Benghazi's the big deal. And if you supported Hillary Clinton, Obama, and Biden, you say, well, Benghazi was no big deal. Only a small amount of people got killed. That was the last stronghold. These people were told to stand down. The diplomats were attacked. And what made things worse is screwing up Libya, as the Obama administration did and the Hillary Clinton State Department did, that reopened the entire North African slave trade and reestablished it.
When Muslim governments get elected or seize power, they tend to wipe out their enemies and they reestablish slavery and the slave trade, and they enslave women, but even other men. And they trade them, and because Islam doesn't think that's a bad problem. They think the enslavement of women as either sex slaves or polygamy or even invasion of your neighbor. Here's the trouble with Islam theologically, right? And my PhD is in Christian theology, but I've studied some of the Quran and I've studied the teachings of the Hadith. And when Muhammad himself founded his religion, it was not very popular at first. And he was talking about Allah and how we should, pray five times a day. And everyone's like, we've heard that before. Okay, there's only one God. Big deal. But then he changed his teaching. He added two elements to Islam. Number one is polygamy, that men can have up to four wives. And I think Muhammad himself had four wives, including an 8-year-old. But then the second thing is, when they established polygamy as a religious practice, they noticed that there were all these men standing around without wives, because the rich men took four wives and the poor men had no wives. So what are we going to do with all these guys that don't have women? Oh, we'll add the second teaching of Islam, which is if you take up weapons against the enemy and you spread jihad and you spread Islam as our religion, you can capture and you can mate with all of the women of the men that you kill. So all the men got new wives, and Islam spread like wildfire, violent government, because now the men had something to do. If they want to get married, they just need to go kill somebody and they can have four wives. So
that's something I'll never understand. I'll never understand that whole thing about polygamy and things like that. Think about this: getting yelled at by four different women every day. You come home late by 5 minutes. You're at the bar for a little bit. You want to have one more. You get home, they're all screaming at you. Not a good thing. What is a good thing, though, is checking out the AmericaOutloud.shop for the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life. Use the code OUTLOUD to get special discounts from our America Out Loud family. Straight ahead on Unleashed. While I'm here, I'm Chris Cordani. I have Pastor Dr. Chaps with me. We're going to talk more about persecution of Christians around the world. And yes, we're going to go back here in the U.S. straight ahead on Unleash the Political News Hour here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You're listening to Unleash the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani. With me is Pastor Chaps. He is with me, Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt, PhD, TV host at PIJN News. You can find that also, not only nationally on television, but on their website, PrayInJesusName.org. He's also the author of several books, including How to Liberate the World, a step-by-step guide to take back your country. I think a lot of these nations need to do that, at least the regular people. All these horrible things happening to Christians around the world. Why don't you hear about it? Because nobody reports it. We know the usual suspects, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un. We talked about the Middle East. In fact, Chaplain, I have interviewed and have talked with a great man named Father Paul Bielecki. He runs a hospital mission in Lebanon. It's as secret as possible, and it's the only medical safe haven for Christians there. And I want to get into that. Christians are not only being prosecuted, persecuted, whatever you want to call it, just for their faith, but they're having facilities closed to them. There are places they just cannot go because of their faith in some of these countries, and Lebanon is one of them.
Yes. We have interviewed friends from Lebanon. Lebanon used to be a beautiful, shining city of Christians. And when Islam took over, it became a dust rubble of war. All the beautiful shopping malls were destroyed, and now you have piles of rubble everywhere that Islam has created violence against Christians and persecuted them. And now it's really controlled in the north by Hezbollah, which is funded by Iran, which is attacking Israel, and they're partnered with Syria, and even Russia supports Syria to some extent. So you wonder, does Israel need support from America? Yes. Do Christians, even in Lebanon, need support from America? Yes. And I'm so proud to hear about this doctor who is providing healing services and Christian health care to the suffering minority faith of Christians in Lebanon. They certainly need our prayers and our financial support.
Yes, he does come to America to try to drop some support here. He does go on the air when he can with a few people, but the fact is he still has to keep a low profile because his life is in danger just for doing what he's doing. This is a pattern, though. It's something you bring up We know what communists and the far left do to their countries. But note, these Central Asian and Middle Eastern nations where Muslims, actually, I'm not going to say Muslims, radical Muslims have rose to power with American and Western politically correct support, have seen their countries destroyed in many areas. That is a pattern that should not be ignored.
Yeah, it's spread around the country, and you wonder why minorities flee to America. Even Muslim minorities, you know, from Afghanistan, who are now fleeing the Taliban, who has retaken control of their government. We have some neighbors in our neighborhood, and I welcome true refugees who have true, persecution status, and that not just I don't welcome, by the way, just people who want to come across the border with guns or drugs. And but I think there needs to be a validated process by which we select persecuted minorities who in their own country would be dead if it wasn't for American aid or American intervention.
That's real asylum. Yes, that's real. Real we don't have asylum. Too many asylum seekers here right now, but yeah, it's real asylum seeking.
Yeah, the problem is under the Biden administration, they redefined asylum as anyone who wants to claim it. And that's just not true. There's got to be a process for vetting the people who are really in need. And we welcome them as our neighbors because they want to make America free. It's like, why does Florida vote Republican? Well, because the Cubans are Republicans, because they know what communism looked like in Cuba. And they don't want that here.
Yeah, those are the minorities. Yeah, those are the minorities our administration doesn't want here, the ones that will vote against them. I have another pattern that maybe you might want to look at as well. A lot of these countries where Christians are being persecuted and everything's been screwed up and gone to heck, the U.S., certain administrations have had a hand in, let's say, making those countries sink a little bit further, if you will. We talked about Libya. We talked about the North African slave trade. We didn't talk about Honduras. We were getting a lot of immigrants from Honduras. I know it's not really a place where Christians are persecuted as much. You can go to Nicaragua for that one. They're on the bad boy list, apparently. But the idea is our nation, some of our administration have stuck their hands. Our deep state has stuck their hands in these countries and made things worse for them. And this is why we're getting a lot of them coming here. And some of them come here with the attitudes that their leadership have against Christians and against generally America as a whole. That's another problem we have here.
Well, here in America, persecution takes a different flavor. And I'm a former Navy chaplain, 20-year veteran, Air Force Academy graduate in political science. But I earned my PhD in theology, and I taught college at Colorado Christian University for 3 years. As you said, I've written How to Liberate the World, a step-by-step guide to take back your country. Because what I discovered when I was a Navy chaplain was that Antichrist persecution here in America looks like First Amendment violations.
Oh, and I want to clarify that. This is Antichrist persecution. We should persecute the Antichrist, but that's a different story.
Oh, right. Well, right now we're struggling to fight back, right? Because right. We're under attack by the forces in the Obama administration, the Biden administration, that want to do several things. Number one, they enact so-called hate crimes legislation to silence Christian speech. When you speak against the LGBT movement in America, you are silenced and censored for discrimination. And, they won't even let legislators speak on the floor of the Colorado State House if they're talking about LGBT stuff, unless it's pro-LGBT. I am a former elected official. I did serve in the Colorado State House of Representatives. I was elected as a legislator. And when I was there, I was silenced and vilified and punished and gaveled down for simply quoting the Bible or saying Christian things in the well of the debate platform. The legislators are silenced here. There's a list of words that they're not allowed to say. When I was a Navy chaplain, I was told, don't pray in Jesus' name in your public prayers. You can pray to
God. Yeah. But that's your job.
Right. But no, they actually wrote a policy in 2006. You can pray at a public microphone, but you can only pray to God and say amen. You can't say in Jesus' name amen, because that might offend somebody.
Wait a minute. I have an idea.
By your commander.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't you pray in public and say the artist formerly known as Jesus? I think you can say that, right?
Like Prince, right?
Right. I pray to the carpenter formerly known as Jesus. That works. Okay. I think we all should do that in public. We should be allowed to pray, because there was this lady in Britain. I think it was another. There's a bunch in America too, but the one in Britain was making national headlines because she was arrested for praying in front of an abortion clinic.
Let me finish my story.
Yes.
When I was in a Navy chaplain, I dared to violate that policy. In 2006, I stood in front of the White House in my Navy uniform and I prayed in Jesus' name on national television. And they read the new policy. They offered me a letter of reprimand. I said, no, I demand my own misdemeanor court martial. So it went to a trial. And there was a judge and a jury and a prosecutor, and I'm on defense for my faith. And the judge found me guilty of worshiping in public. That's what he wrote in his decision, that I violated the lawful order, because worshiping in public in your uniform can be punished as a crime because it's outside of a Sunday morning chapel.
Even though you're a chaplain.
Even though I'm a chaplain, you can only do that Sunday mornings in chapel. You can't pray in Jesus' name Monday through Saturday or in uniform or outside of a church. Well, I broke all those rules, and so I was found guilty of breaking the new policy. But here's the good news. My story was published in 500 newspapers. It inspired 300,000 Americans to sign petitions to Congress, and Congress changed the law. They revoked the same bad policy that I was punished for in the court, and now the chaplains can pray in Jesus' name. The Secretary of the Navy himself was forced to rescind the bad prayer policy, and now there is religious freedom for Navy chaplains, because one man took a stand and 300,000 Americans signed petitions. We've now, over the years, sent 5 million petitions to Congress. Through our website, prayinjesusname.org, you can sign those free petitions today when you visit prayinjesusname.org. We've now sent 5 million petitions to Congress. We've helped change bad laws or policies in America, 13 different states and 4 times in federal law, to restore freedom to pray in Jesus' name, or freedom to preach the gospel, or First Amendment rights for pastors. And we would love people's support and donations and sign the petitions, which are totally free, at prayinjesusname.org.
Chaps, I'm pretty sure I know why this treatment and murder of Christians around the world goes unreported. It has a lot to do with the attitudes that you've discussed here in America and American government, or at least the American government controlled by the left in a lot of ways, and American entertainment media controlled by the left. It's worse in America than people might even think. Over the last 40 years, public schools have been systematically eliminating Christian references, and Jewish references too, by the way, from its curricula and grounds. You remember, as a child, we used to go to school, and during the wintertime, we'd have a little a snack or a little party for Christmas and Hanukkah. Inclusive was very nice. Now districts are forcing their kids to have winter festivals instead. Halloween was fun, but that's been marginalized too. Now it's no costume or non-offensive costumes at fall celebrations, or harvest celebrations, if you will, sometimes. And of course, it's generic and annoying, but the underlying issue is the elimination of any religious, or at least Christian and Jewish, references on school and government public grounds.
Yeah, we're more concerned with the state laws which require pro-gay teaching to all public school children. And they're promoting, you know, Harvey Milk celebrations and promoting transgender pronouns. The state of Colorado just passed a law that children can choose their own pronoun and their own name without telling their parents, and the school must call the new pronouns and new names without telling the parents. And they're encouraging this in the LGBT clubs. But now the state government is also encouraging it as a matter of state law. The Christian teachers would be punished or fired if they didn't use the wrong pronouns.
That's another thing, too. You think about these pronouns and the teaching of Harvey Milk over and the idea of saying, well, the founding fathers were slave owners. They're horrible. Harvey Milk is portrayed always in a positive light. Okay, he did make history. We all know that. We get that. The problem is what people don't realize is he was a close associate of the Socialist Party in San Francisco, and mind you, one Reverend Jim Jones.
And he was only famous because of the way he had sex. I mean, if he was a straight guy or even an asexual, non-sexual guy, he would not be famous. He was famous because he had sex with other men and then brought that into politics and then brought that into a movement. Kudos to them. They have moved the needle as a political movement. The LGBTs now have more power than the Christians in America. We're just asking for a little bit of mercy that sometimes the First Amendment might be respected and that Christian parents can opt out of this nonsense, or Christian homeschoolers. They're attacking the homeschool church families now. They're attacking the Christian schools in Colorado. They're trying to marginalize as a matter of funding, as a matter of access, as a matter of religious freedom. They're taking it away from us one little law at a time at the state level, especially in blue states like Colorado, California, New York, where the Democrats have a supermajority in the legislature. They are homosexualizing our children right under our noses and banning any Christian reference to prayer in school or religious freedom or equal access for Bible clubs led by children.
It used to be with the alphabets. It used to be live and let live, and I was okay with that. They got to realize live and let live goes both ways. Well, maybe I should rephrase that and say live and let live is a two-way street, if you will. If we're going to do that for people, the people should in return do that for everybody else as well. And that's a problem. Right.
It's no longer about gay marriage. Okay, that was 2015. The Supreme Court ruled on Obergefell. Okay, they have equality. It's not about equality. It's now about access to your children. And if they are not given gay access to propagandize and transgenderize your children and grandchildren, then they're angry, and we got to sue for freedom to get away from that stuff. It's freedom from the LGBT movement because they're being so aggressive toward our children that parents are either not paying attention or if they are paying attention, they got to sue to opt out of it. It's really become, that's the new frontier. It's not 2015 anymore. It's 2024, and they want our children.
Perhaps it's also a part of the idea where the statists, the American left, if you will, who control the state at this point, are finding other ways to persecute Christians, taking them out of the schools, obviously, promoting ideas that are anti-Christian, or again, I can leave that there. We can do a whole show on all that. And people have different opinions, but coining the phrase, the Biden administration coined a phrase known as Christian nationalist. It implies that Christians are a dangerous group of people because for 2 years before that, Joe Biden has been overusing the term white nationalist, and that got into the media lexicon. So the white nationalist has now become the Christian nationalist to show people those Christians are really horrible people. They're persecuting everybody around the world, which, of course, if people just listen to this program, we're finding it's the exact opposite, if you will. And then you have Biden administration's FBI decided to, bring extra attention towards the very dangerous extremists known as Catholics who practice the Latin Mass. How dangerous are they?
Yeah, well, the phrase Christian nationalist is now being used as a slur, which means Christians who vote. And the last thing the left wants are Christians to show up and vote or to love America. You know, the whole Trump campaign is based on patriotism and making America great again. Okay, maybe you don't like Trump, but do you still like America? Are you still in favor of our nation? Well, then you might be a nationalist. The alternative is that you're a globalist, and that's worse. Biden administration are full of antichrist globalists, and I don't appreciate being labeled as a Christian nationalist, but the labels are coming from the big money George Soros funded organizations, including NPR and PBS television, which are funded by your tax dollars, and they call us Christian nationalists, but what they are They're Antichrist globalists. And if you hate Jesus and hate America, you might be an Antichrist globalist.
Well, they follow a religion too. These people have their own religion, the Schwabist religion, if you will. They follow everything from that comes out of the globalist narrative as if it was religion.
Yeah, and there are people who hate Jesus and hate America behind it with a lot of money, but the humble among us, those of us who love Jesus and love America, they can disparage us, they can call us names, but I love Jesus and I love America. And I think the people who vote their conscience or vote the Bible or vote for their grandparents' religious values, there's a remnant of us, but we're out there working it. And we're probably Republicans, and we're probably going to vote for Trump over Biden. But the bottom line is, we need to vote for Jesus. And I know Jesus isn't always on the ballot, and Trump is not Jesus.
And in certain states, you have to say, we are now trying to vote for the carpenter formerly known as Jesus. This way you don't get in any trouble, okay?
But what we got to find are the candidates, especially at the lower races, right? State representative or senator, county commissioner, city councilor, and school board. There's a group, Moms for Liberty, who are running school board elections in every county in America. Moms for Liberty, great Christian group. But my point is, when you go to the ballot box, try to find that candidate who morally looks like Jesus. And I know it's not Jesus, and none of us are perfect, but there are a lot of antichrists out there on the ballot. They usually have a D after their name for Democrat, and they are antichrist globalists, and they will persecute the church, enact hate crimes legislation, transgenderize your grandchildren, and blame Christians for screwing up the country. Well, something tells me we can see through the nonsense. I'm so glad for your podcast, Chris, because you and I are telling the truth. Our TV show, PIJN News, is the alternate media.
And this is the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. We have a whole group of people here at the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network that tells the truth, that allows our guests to do that. You can't do some of this on regular radio or television at times because there's fear out there. There's fear you're going to offend somebody nowadays. Huh? We're built to offend people. The truth is going to offend people. That's the way things are. I do want to thank you for being with us, by the way. Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt, the PhD, TV host at PIJN News. I really wish we had more time. And of course, you want to check out his book, How to Liberate the World, A Step-by-Step Guide to Take Back Your Country. His website, PrayInJesusName.org. I want to thank all of you for being here. And of course, check out AmericaOutloud.news, where we have people who tell the truth. They put God and country ahead of everything else. Check it out again. It's AmericaOutloud.news. I'm Chris Bordeni. Thank you for being with us here on Unleashed. Let's unleash the truth.